This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director, with Greg Jamieson, counselor in Sioux Falls and possibly a candidate for mayor, maybe. We'll find out later this week. This last week, you got a kind of a surprise when your daughter started helping you with social media a little bit.
Right, right. We had secured the name, or hashtag, I guess you call it, Jamieson for Mayor, along with GregJamiesonForMayor.com. And my daughter was helping me do these things, and she's really into the Twitter and email and texting and all that social media stuff. Anyway, come to find out, she had clicked on a couple of people to follow, some TV stations, news organizations, and other people. And all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, I got a phone call, and I had no idea she was doing this. And all of a sudden, they asked me about it. I'm like, well, yeah, we secured that stuff, but how do you know about it? And they said, well, you tweeted it. Or it was, you followed us, I guess is what it was. And I go, oh my gosh. So my daughter was, she was devastated that it kind of let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. But, you know, she's a wonderful help in the whole campaign here. So yeah, it kind of snuck out.
Well, anytime you want to know anything about the internet, just ask a
young right,
person.
Right, exactly.
How old is your daughter?
She's 23.
And you've got how many kids now?
Two kids, 123, 125.
So they're out of high school, college a little bit?
Yeah, yeah.
And, ready to support you in a possible campaign. You're going to make an official announcement maybe Tuesday.
Right. Look for Tuesday to have an official announcement of my candidacy to run for mayor. Certainly been working on it, talking about it with a lot of people, and you know, it's go time, and I'll make it official on Tuesday.
What made you decide to think about it, I guess?
To run, mm-hmm. Finally? Well, there's a lot of things that need to be done differently in our community.
And as a counselor, you've kind of been thinking about this for some time.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've been on the council for 5 years now. And so what happens is you get to understand how government works, how things get done, how people communicate with each other. And watching it from my perspective, I found different opportunities that I think we could do a better job. We could work better with the constituents in our community, things like that. Certainly, I'll outline more of my direction on Tuesday of exactly where I think we should be headed in our community, but look for that.
What times that I have kind of listened into the council meetings and that, you've been the one that's kind of asked questions, you and Kermit Staggers, I guess, a little bit, but bringing up and asking questions, especially about transparency, especially mm-hmm. about who's paying for
right.
this, and catching a lot of things that maybe hadn't been brought up.
Right, well, I think some of that comes with just being around a little bit. You know, I worked and sat and I've talked a lot with my dad over the years. So I've got maybe kind of a longer understanding of the history and just expectations of the council members and the issues, maybe just a little different perspective. And so when you're in a meeting and sometimes somebody brings something up and there's a lot of things rushing through your head. And I know the other counselors are there to serve the city as best they can, but I just feel some of us have a different listening skill or something. And so we pick out things and we go, well, wait a minute, doesn't that conflict with this? Or have you also thought about this part of it or something? And then the dialogue just kind of continues.
Now, you've been a counselor or before that commissioner, I think, for how long? Or?
No, the form of government changed. We've been counselors now for, I think, 21 years, I think it is. So.
See, I'm so old, I remember too much, I guess you might say.
Right, we had Gary Hansen when he first started as mayor. That was the first time that we changed it to the council form. So he served for 8 years, Dave Munson for 8, and then Mike Uther now for the last 3.
Now, I think back to Gary Hansen days, he started, you know, changing the substructure and the things that needed to start, you know, getting rebuilt and mm-hmm. you know, those type of things. We're coming along pretty well on that, I think, right now, as far as the new pipelines and the new development. Of course, has extended things quite a bit in all directions, but that's one thing I think that's important, is that we keep that up as far as making sure that we don't let things get too far behind in maintenance and that.
Right, we've got a lot of new parts, so to speak, to our city, but there are a lot of older parts,
mm-hmm.
you know, the sewer, some sewer lines, some water mains. We've got some issues in parts of the town where the water mains are deteriorating because of the soil. And some of that's premature because we didn't realize how toxic the soil was. But the biggest challenge is that it's just such a big system. There are things everywhere that need to be replaced. There's no way there's enough money to ever do it and have it all perfect. So you just do the best you can, piece by piece. And we've invested millions of dollars into a new sewer trunk line system to help eliminate some problems there. But it just goes on and on.
Well, the state just reported a $23 million surplus over their budget expectations, and the city of Sioux Falls seems to be doing quite well. Our sales tax is more than we thought it was going to be, so we've got money coming in. But I guess, what are some of the things you want to accomplish, you know, still as a councilor or maybe as a future mayor in the next couple of years? What are the main things the city really needs to address?
Well, the roads. The roads, it's funny how roads have always been, always probably will be, the number one priority because everybody interacts with the roads. And then you talk about traffic flow and moving people throughout the city. Those are generally priority issues that have been here and will probably continue on. So making sure there's enough money for that. And so what happens is you have to balance all these things out in our community about where you're going to spend the money and what are you going to spend it on. And you have to balance it as best you can. And so continuing to fund streets in a proper way are important. I've tried to do that as much as I could, as often as I could as a council member. And going forward, serving as a mayor, I would certainly be pressing even further for that.
Well, Councilor Jameson, you mentioned your dad. For those who are new in Sioux Falls, let's talk about that. You grew up with your dad was quite active in city government pretty much all of your life.
Yeah. It's really what's driven me to get involved, you know, watching him, just like anybody might watch their dad or parents be a fireman or a police officer or anything, really. You watch them and you see how they do things, you pay attention. Certainly you want to be like them and things like that. And for me, what happened is we found ourselves sitting around the table, at a kitchen table, talking about these issues. I mean, we're talking about sewer systems and water lines and roads, and all my friends are talking to their parents and people about football and baseball and stats and things, but that's what it was at our house was talking about. Back in the early days, he served as the Public Works Commissioner for the city. And so I got familiar with the water treatment plant, things like that, how they build roads, why they build them in the way they do, sewer systems, how they work, things like that. So it's a little weird, I suppose. But it's following him, watching him, appreciating what he did and the energy. You'd be out someplace and somebody would say, "Hey, Bob, I got a problem over here. Could you help me out?" And they'd hook up and try to figure out his problem. So, you know, I wanted to be like that.
So he can give you perspective, with history, about some issues that maybe other people don't have.
He's absolutely a huge resource for me. I've called him a lot. And I'll say, you know, things like, "Lewis and Clark, what was going on there? What were you guys thinking when you started this project?" And we talked about how water is so vital to our growth in our community. So I get some of these, I get to appreciate some of the founding decisions about big decisions that our community has made over the years. And so I get to understand him better. So he's a great resource for me.
Well, he's got to be pretty proud of you kind of following in his footsteps a little bit.
Well, sometimes there's things I've said and done where he goes, you know, we'll be talking later, and he'll go, "You know, Greg, you ought to really think about this." And he does it in a fine fashion where he says, "Think a little different. You know, you're not really thinking through it the whole way. Consider what's going to happen after what happens next," things like that. So we don't always agree on everything. But he does encourage me. I think they're generally happy with what I've done so far, and I just hope I can continue that.
Well, you've decided to maybe Tuesday to maybe announce running for mayor.
Sure.
The cat's out of the bag a little bit with the Twitter account, but what are your thoughts about it? It's you're running against an incumbent. April is going to be election. Last time, I think about 9 people ran for mayor. You're thinking maybe not so many people will be running this year.
Right. Anytime you run against an incumbent, you know, even consider the national races or the, let's say, in our state, the Senate race and the House race. when people ran against Tim Johnson in the past, or John Thune in the past, or Kristi Noem running an incumbent governor, it's a challenge. There's no way to argue differently that, you know, having an incumbent in office who's running for re-election is a challenge. They've got the opportunities to have a press conference for everything and anything and have their name out there. They can take credit for things. They can start new things. And that's a lot of momentum to beat. But my unique factor is that I'm on the city council. So it's not like I'm a newcomer to the whole discussion about what's been happening in our community and the decisions that have been made. I've been on the council for 6 years. So I've been a part of a lot of great things in our community. But I look for a narrow audience or a narrow group of people running just because there's an incumbent. And, you know, officially, he hasn't made an official announcement that he's actually in the race. And my focus and start in this is really to run for the office of mayor, the mayor of Sioux Falls. That's what I'm running for. I'm not necessarily running against Mike Huether. If he should get in the race, I think it'll become obvious that we're the that we're running against each other. But again, I'm hoping to keep it clear and focused on running for the office and not against another person.
What are some of the things between, you know, it's a strong mirror form of government right now, and are there some things that you see as a councilor that you would like to redefine what mayor and city council is?
Right. Well, the unique thing that has never happened in city government is to have a council member come over into the administration's or into the mayor's office. And what I think there is there's a lot of missing pieces and communication and cooperation and collaboration. And I think this is a unique opportunity to bring somebody from the council with a great perspective of how things get done there into the mayor's office and be able to work now with the council in a whole way that's never been done before. And so that's exciting. I think that'd be a great opportunity for the city to see things get done bigger, better, and on a new focus, a new level of working together to get things done.
As a councilor, you get kind of an advantage of getting a picture of where is the city growing right now. It's kind of growing in all directions, but 3-4 years from now, are we prepared for the direction that we're going?
Well, one of the things you do as a city is you to allow and prepare for that growth is to put in the sewer systems and the water lines. And so we've got literally millions and millions of dollars invested in sewer lines. And most of those are out to the east and a little bit to the south. But what we found is there's a huge desire to build even further south, but our sewer system ends right at 85th Street. And the reason for part of that is that the water or the ground all slopes now even further south, and our wastewater treatment plant is positioned so that there's a natural flow to it. So 85th Street creates a barrier, and we're going to have to build a new treatment plant. So we thought a long time ago that people would want to live a lot further east, but what's happening now is we've got more demand and desire to go further south, and we don't have the infrastructure there to handle it. So we're kind of have to catch up somewhere.
Now, we did have some problems with the sewer lines a year or so ago where right. They ruptured and had some emergency aspects. Are we feeling pretty safe and confident that type of issue is being addressed?
Oh, yes. What we did is there was that break up at by the penitentiary, and what it did is it kind of woke us up maybe, and we started to analyze all the sewer systems and consider the age, if there was leakage occurring into the lines, meaning water infiltrating the lines and then having send just clean water into this treatment plant didn't make sense. So we went through and evaluated the sewer systems and figured out what we needed to do to make it better, and we addressed it. We borrowed, I'm thinking it was $125 million to address the issue. And some of the construction that's happening at 57th and Western, you may have seen a big sewer line getting moved in along the interstate and then now through Western. That's all part of that project. And so, you know, sometimes it takes a cold bucket of water in the face to make sure you're doing everything right.
Now, as far as growth of the city of Sioux Falls, I think we're pretty well determined that we're going to be growing.
Yeah.
I think we can be pretty confident in that. Our finances are looking pretty good.
Right.
The arena, the event center, I guess, is kind of a star on the, you know, we're getting some progress. We got culture. Mm-hmm. The sculpture walk, for example, I remember when the only thing we had for culture was the fact that Mr. Schock invented cottage cheese.
Yeah, right.
But we've come a long ways from the ghost town of downtown. Now, now downtown is having the hot summer nights, hot Harley nights, the crazy days. It's expanding. But getting back to the event center, for example, one thing there is I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop in the fact that they're going to say we need more parking.
Well, yeah, I've kind of, you know, if you think back to some of the original master plans mm-hmm. for the event center, required and asked essentially, let's take Howard Wood out of there. And the whole purpose of that was to allow for a lot more parking. And, you know, what happened here recently was really that they just said, no, okay, let's, well, the Sioux Falls School District actually made the decision first. They said, well, we're going to invest money into Howard Wood Field, yes. So it's not going anywhere. And then the discussion seemed to just kind of forget that part, that we needed more parking. You know, it's been a frustrating challenge. You know, I think there is some putting your head in the sand a little bit approach that there isn't a parking problem. Let's just pretend there isn't. Okay, people will ride a shuttle bus to other parking lots, and that'll be fine. That's not what I want. That's not what I would like to do. I would rather we do it right, but it takes a lot of work to admit, frankly, that you didn't maybe get it all right.
Well, I remember they're saying, you know, build it downtown or build it out there. They said, well, there'd be better parking if we build it out there. But yet here with hot summer nights, hot Harley nights, you know, Parade of Lights, we have 50,000 people downtown, and there's no trouble with parking downtown. So I kind of remind people about that a little bit. One of my thoughts is, you know, maybe we should move the Canaries ballpark downtown. It wouldn't mm-hmm. cost that much to build in a parking ramp where the Canaries ballpark is. And that way we have something downtown you can take your kids to and get a hot dog, and we got all the restaurants, and you can walk down to the ballpark and come back to the pavilion or whichever. And what about mass transit? Let's move to that. I think we're doing pretty good on that, too.
Let me wrap one thing up here on the event center. The Canary Stadium, getting downtown would be a wonderful addition for downtown. You know, we did have a huge discussion about the event center and its location. Certainly, I was in favor of a downtown location, and that lost out. So now I have to kind of retrain the brain, and the effect now is how do we make sure that we improve or enhance the fan experience at the event center that we have now, and how do we make sure it's profitable? Those are the two driving forces I have in trying to finish the project. And, you know, building a parking ramp out there, I think, is almost inevitable someday. Where we could do it is a problem. But I'm not in favor of myself of actually, you know, riding a shuttle bus to the event center. Mm-hmm. But parking downtown was a whole new strategy for most people to kind of put their brain around as well, because it, you don't park right in front of the building that you're going to. You go down the street. So either way, that the moving on to transit, what we found recently is that the cost of the paratransit service has risen beyond sustainable levels, and we've got to find a way to kind of bring it back together, make it so that it's an affordable option for the city to maintain. So we're working on changes. There's a lot more people riding the bus, and that's a good thing. SAM, you know, the Sioux Area Metro.
As a senior, I find that it's quite economical.
Right. There's a lot of people who can benefit from it, but it's like, you know, I hate to say it, but retraining your brain. I've tried riding the bus a couple of times, and it takes a different mentality, because I'm used to, you know, getting up, you know, if I've got to go somewhere, I'll go, and if I need to stop somewhere on the way home, I'll stop. But if you ride the mass transit, you have to plan out your day a little better than what I'm accustomed to.
Well, like I say, we're looking ahead on the city of Sioux Falls with Councilor Greg Jamieson what are some of the things that you really would like to accomplish if you could wave your magic wand? The things, you know, that 4 years from now you could say, well, okay, that's what I wanted to do.
Sure, sure. Well, you know, it's being on the council, you get to be a part of a lot of big decisions and a lot of, you can direct change in our community. And we've done that over the years. If I had to wave a magic wand and look back, what I would hope for is a new modern roadway system with smart interactive lights that things move faster, smoother. You know, certainly we need all the recreational activities, pools and parks and those kinds of things. I would never forget those things. But at the end of the day, if I had to boil it down, it would be a new modern roadway with interactive traffic signals.
Are we talking, okay, you're talking all of Sioux Falls. The new Beltway, I guess, is part of that.
Sure, sure.
We have to be careful we don't do like Atlanta and choke us off where there's only so many ways in and out of the city. You know, that we have to learn from the past. But, you know, I suggest that maybe we leave room for mass transit when we build those beltways in the future.
Well, very good advice. You know, you're right, Don. We have 229 that kind of loops around. Highway 100 is in essence, a few miles even further out, and it does the similar kind of a loop. So someday that 100, I would bet, would turn into 429, and we would kind of continue that expanded roadway system that way.
Another thought, you know, being your counselor and maybe a candidate for mayor, is on the mass transit issue. There's no buses at night, but what if we were to have one bus just go to all the Walmarts and Walgreens in a circle? You could at least get from one side of town to the other if you know, have a nighttime job, because we do have more people working night shifts now.
We're absolutely a changing community with needs like that. So the transit system is probably needs to be more flexible, but it's a very expensive operation to maintain. So we need to kind of streamline some things, and perhaps a service like that could be beneficial to a lot of people in our community. But I'm not sure that we know exactly what that need is. But I would look for it to evolve in ways just like that.
The Walmart issue is something that's current. And I bring that up only because some people say that the city's too pro-development, and others say maybe we need to rein in a little bit and become more pro for the ordinary guy, the ordinary homeowner. Yeah. And you're smiling a little bit, you know what I mean.
Well, yes, there's, you know, serving on the council, there were times there, and this is some of the perspective I hope to bring to the mayor's office. As I served with Dave Munson back in, I was elected in 08. In 08 and 9, 10 even, there was a troubling economy here in our city. And I remember on the council going, geez, I wish somebody would just bring us a development that we could look at, analyze, and maybe approve and get growth going. But some of those council meetings were very quiet. And so you get to experience those times where nothing's going on, and you would almost do anything to create something. And now we've moved on to this explosive growth. And so I was one of those guys that would say, you know, let's pave the planet. I mean, we need to go. Let's do it. And so we have all these things happening now. And what happens when you have all that activity is sometimes you forget about the basic structure of a city and to make sure that you don't forget those parks and those pools and the quality of life that we all want and want to protect, because you're so busy doing this development over here and trying to get a developer to finish and start going over here. And this explosive growth is hard to manage. And so one of the priorities that I'll take very seriously is to maintain our quality of life that we have. You know, I grew up here. I spent my whole life growing up here and started a family here, got married here, started a business. All these things are great. It's a great place to live. And I'd hate to see it get sold out for development. Now, we need some of that, but we just can't sell out.
We don't want to become a boomtown mentality.
Well, John, you're right on with the, you know, I've asked people about that boomtown theory, and they're all worried about what normally happens with a boomtown is they go bust. And then it's left with a you know, scars of this expansive growth that wasn't well planned out. So I'm absolutely monitoring that, and that'll be a part of our discussion.
Well, Greg, you grew up here. What parks did you used to play in when you were a kid?
Sure. Well, I I spent nearly my whole childhood at Campus Park, which is at 26th and Summit. And from there, I, walked to, my house that I grew up in, I was born, brought home from the hospital, was right at 23rd and Duluth. And then I walked, went to school at Christ the King over there, went to school at Edison, and then went on to O'Gorman, where I met my wife at O'Gorman, and we've been married now almost 30 years. So, yeah, I mean, this is my hometown. This is where I grew up, and I love it.
I used to be the PTA president at Jefferson for a while. I used to get high on the mimeograph machine because it was always in a small room. But that's what I'm saying is you do have some perspective, some history, and family, and your dad, and people to give you support. What are you looking for? Are you looking for volunteers? Are you looking for people to give you advice? If people could call you today and say, you haven't made an announcement yet, but what do you want people to know?
Well, absolutely. Official announcement will be coming Tuesday. What I'm hoping for, and I've already got them. It's funny how this thing is. I'll just be frank with you. There are times when you feel overwhelmed with what you're about to do, and I've talked to a lot of people, and all those days where I felt, gee, this is really a big deal. It's going to take a lot of work, and you're feeling, wow. I get text messages, or an email, or a phone call from somebody saying, hey, what can I do to help? Because I really want you to win. I want to be a part of your campaign. And just like that, you get re-energized and tuned up. So what I suppose at the end of the day, what I would like from people, if they're willing and wanting to help, is I'll be working in the neighborhoods throughout the city. And if they want to host me or walk with me, they could easily call me, find me, and I would love to meet with them and then walk through their neighborhood with them and listen to the issues and concerns that they have in their neighborhoods.
What would you like to say to seniors?
Well, seniors, have issues in our community that need to be dealt with differently. From the seniors that I talk to, there is a sense of quality of life that they're most concerned about. Surely they want the businesses to be here, but what I hear from them is protecting our quality of life and making sure it's a great place for kids and families, and don't forget those kinds of things. That's what I hear from the seniors.
And for young kids starting families, what would you like to say to them?
Well, good luck. It's hard, starting a family, your focus turns to being a parent, and oftentimes on the council, we want advice and opinions from people from all walks and all ages, but it's tough because those younger people who are starting a young family are focused on their families. If I could say anything to them, I guess I would tell them that we're going to make sure that the philosophy of having a park a half a mile from every resident in our city is still our focus and still in the plans. We're not changing that. So even if you are struggling and you don't have access to a recreational center of some sort, your own private fitness club, we're going to continue to have parks in your neighborhoods and other amenities to help you enjoy your quality of life.
My suggestion is if you want to know where to put a new park, just watch where the new churches are going, because seems like there's a church out in the middle of a cornfield and then all of a sudden there's a neighborhood the next year. They seem to know where they're going.
Yes, they do. They plan it out pretty good.
Well, Greg Jameson, Councilor Greg Jameson, your announcement next Tuesday, do you know when and where that's going to be?
Well, I'm working on some of the final details. There'll be a public notice sent out Monday. I'm sure everybody will hear about it that way and an exact time.
Good to talk to you before the announcement.
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank you very much for being with us on Forum.
You bet.
Thank you.